Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, Mick defends the Dalai Lama against those outrageous allegations by the Chinese government. What are they, Mick? That he likes to wear men's clothing in his spare time? Something like that. Also today, our latest big screen effort for the youngsters, Bindi Paxton, superstar, and that controversial Physical ad gets the chop. We'll roll out the radio gladiators, poke our noses into somebody else's business on Sticky Beaks, and we'll talk variety, variety, variety with Dame Judith Lucy. Yes, it's all coming up on the program, whose hosts were last night secretly married to the Ball Sisters, Martin Malloy.
Boy, good afternoon, everybody. It's live, it's around the whole nation, and it's myself, Tony Martin, with this bloke here, the Svengali-like manager who's behind the scenes, pulling the strings, moulding, shaping and guiding the career of one Bindi Paxton, Mick Malloy.
We're taking it slowly but cautiously.
Okay.
You know, I don't want this to be a flash in the pan kind of thing. We're laying the groundwork.
And tastefully, more importantly.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk Bindi, Mick. Australia is perched on the brink of Bindi mania.
Yep.
Apparently, I'm talking, of course, about the eldest of the notorious Paxton family, who were demonised by the team at a current affair earlier this year. Bindi is the latest of the Paxton clan to have a stab at showbiz. Shane, as we know, chickened out on a career in the Rock game earlier this year.
Yep.
But Bindi looks set to go the distance and will take to the stage of Melbourne's Esplanade Hotel, the ESPY, in St Kilda on October 7th. Mark that in your diaries, to belt out a few of her own tunes, some of which provide a scathing account of the incident which shot her and her brothers to national notoriety. No word yet on the third Paxton, Mickey. You know, the other one?
the dark horse,
the Zeppo? He hasn't been heard from at all, so I'm assuming he's got his own show on Foxtel. But Bindi also appears in Nikki New in the latest issue of Playboy, which is out next week. Now, I'm not denying that the Paxtons have been fairly well shat on by a current affair. You know, they've been attacked in the street, they've been abused, they've had rocks thrown through their front window, they've received death threats, all thanks to the lovable host of This Is Your Life. But at the same time, does this Playboy deal mean that if the dress requirements at South Mole Island had been nothing, Bindi would have taken the job?
Jumped at it.
If Mr. Whitsunday had sat her down and said, look, I know the lime green waitress outfit's a bit tacky, but how would you feel about, say, stilettos, a diamond anklet and bugger all else? If he said that, she would have accepted the gig?
Yeah.
You know, if it was either A, wear the uniform, or B, parade about in the nutty rubbing soap suds all over yourself while I go you with a fire hose, she would have gone, B, fantastic, where do I sign? And this whole stuff wouldn't have blown up. Is that what it meant?
I think so.
I don't know, but you realise, Mick, if the public bite down on the Bindi gear and declare it ice cream, if the Bindi sound catches on and the Bindi nude snaps cause a stampede to the newsagents, she could be huge. Yeah. And one day could be selected to appear on This Is Your Life.
Wow.
Imagine that, Mike Munro turning up at the Paxton house with his big red book. No, not you again, Bindi. Do you remember this voice? You're a bludger, a leech on the system, a disgrace. Yeah, that's you, isn't it? That's right! And then they both start crying and hug each other. That'd be a showbiz moment. They could even end up best mates and do a little TV show together. Dork and Bindi. You're listening to Martin Malloy. That's Swell the Bodines with Closer to Free. And Mick, we've talked Bindi. But there's somebody else who the Australian public are in love with at the moment. Mm. He's a fantastic bloke, the Dalai Lama. He's been trotting around the country, shaking hands and providing a fantastic antidote to the Pauline Hanson factor, I feel.
Correct.
But I understand some disturbing allegations have been raised today.
Yep, they're at it again, Tone. The Chinese government are spending all their spare energy just going the Dalai big time.
Yeah.
They love going the slag on the Dalai, don't they? Can't help themselves. All he has to do is bob up in the press and the Chinese government get the claws out.
Yeah.
Lonnie Anderson and Burt Reynolds don't go each other as savagely as this lot.
No.
Check this out, Tone. The Chinese government have circulated a letter to the Australian media in which they claim the Dalai and his followers were resenting the prospect of changes simply because the changes would mean to deprive them of their privileges as the biggest slave owners in Tibet.
Is that right?
Wow! Because, you know, you often see the Dalai out in the cotton fields with a big whip just depriving depriving all the locals of their daily allotment of watermelon.
Oh, yeah, he's famous for it.
You know, it's just his kind of gig, isn't it? Yeah. Then they refer to a purported law of the Dalais that offenders shall be punished by gouging out the eyes, cutting off the foot, tongue or hand, being pushed off a cliff, drowning or execution. Pretty heavy stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mind you, they released a document last year making exactly the same claims against the Three Stooges. Claimed Moe had enslaved Larry and Curly, punishing them with either an eye gouge, nose tweak or the old on the head. Does that sound like the Dalai Lama to you, Tone? The Nobel Peace Prize winner who travels the world advocating non-violence and peaceful negotiations? Does he sound like the type of bloke who'd whip your testes off and bung them in a kettle, Jeffrey Dahmer style? Because that's how it sounds to me. God knows, when I'm walking down a dark alley late at night and see someone coming towards me, I just pray it's not the Dalai Lama.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's a man in a dress. Run for your lives, everyone. Run for your lives. Hello. You know that wouldn't happen, Tone, with my mic if I didn't insist on holding it Darryl Braithwaite style
exactly.
For every spot I do.
I've warned you about that. And take those flares off now.
Oh, dear. Have you seen the Dalai ever go the eye gouge, Tone? Rip someone's tongue out?
No, I haven't seen any of his early shorts, though. if are they on video?
No,
not on his current tour, anyway.
He doesn't. He's never gone the eye gouge, never ripped someone's tongue out. I can't even get a mental picture of it.
No.
I mean, if he got rid of the frock and just started getting around town in a pair of wrestling trunks and knee-high boots, grabbing people randomly, putting them in a headlock and started slamming their nuts into fire hydrants, okay, I'd entertain the idea. But, you know, as it stands, until I see Bobby the Brain Heenan representing him at news conferences, I remain unconvinced.
Yeah.
Now, the far-fetched claims don't end there either, Tone. Listen to this one. Chinese authorities also maintain that to celebrate the Dalai's birthday, sacrifices be offered on that day, so you are expected to provide immediately a set of human intestines, two human heads, blood, and a whole human skin. Or, in lieu of that, a gift voucher from Brash's.
Oh, okay, all right.
What's going on? I think they've confused the Dalai's birthday with a prominent member of the Jackson family. Imagine the Dalai on his birthday, Tone, before he unwrapped his prezzies. Ah, is it two human heads? Ah, don't tell me. Ah, a set of human intestines. Oh, no, it's not that human skin I've had my eye on, is it? God. He's out of the mind, people.
Yeah.
I'm rattling a shoebox that contains a stapler. There is no magic in radio anymore.
I hope you've got a receipt for them, because you can claim on them at tax time, Mickey. That's a prop.
But how's that? Human heads, skins made out of what is it?
Human
skins. They're painting him out to be all Silence of the Lambs now.
Yeah.
If the Chinese government had their way, the Dalai would be making all his public appearances strapped to a trolley and wearing a catcher's mask. Mind you, Tone, in light of these allegations, I'm keener than ever for the Dalai to meet with John Howard, maybe on a cliff top. And if not in the next couple of weeks, maybe he could pop round to wish him a happy birthday.
Barnsey, that's new from Barnsey here at Martin Malloy.
Hey, kids, remember Herbie the love bug, that mischievous old Volkswagen with a mind of his own? You would have seen him getting up to his cockeyed antics in Herbie Rides Again. Herbie goes to Monte Carlo and Herbie goes bananas. Well, he's back in a brand new series of adventures that's great fun for the whole family. Don't miss the series premiere tonight. Herbie does a drive-by shooting.
Hey, you kids, anyone here seen lovable old Herbie the love bug?
Nah.
Well, that's funny. Herbie said he'd be here and, oh, here he comes now. Hello, Herbie. Oh, Herbie, what the...
Every Sunday night over the next 6 weeks, we'll be screening the latest adventure involving the seemingly impossible exploits of a driverless car whose behaviour is becoming cause for some alarm. This Herbie does a hit and run.
Quick, Herbie, we've got to get back to the racetrack or mean old Mr. Herbie. Herbie, what the...
After dinner, kids, get showered and changed into your jammies, or you might miss the two-part special, Herbie Assists a Suicide Death.
Herbie, open the door. Herbie, the car's filling up with poisonous carbon monoxide gas. Herbie, open the door, you bastard.
there's loads of fun for the adults too in the all-new Herbie Does Dallas. We all know Herbie is the love bug, but now you can watch him catch one.
Herbie, leave that Datsun Bluebird alone. You don't know where it's been. Oh, Herbie, that's disgusting.
So for the best in family entertainment, don't miss the brand new series of adventures starring Herbie the Love Bug. It's must-see TV.
Come on, kids, quickly. The Tamil Tigers will be here soon. Help me get all the explosives into Herbie's boot. He's scheduled for a suicide bombing this afternoon. What's that, Herbie? Sorry, Herbie. Hey, kids, thanks to good old German engineering, we've got to put the explosives in the other end. Herbie, where are you going?
Mum to be Madonna here at Martin Malloy with Into the Groove. In the next hour, Judith Lucy will be with us. We'll also play Sticky Beaks. Radio Gladiators is moments away.
Beauty.
But, you know, a friend of mine went to the Royal Melbourne Show over the weekend, because everyone has a show.
Mm-hmm.
I think in most of our listening regions there'll be a show of some sort.
Yep.
We had the Sydney show earlier in the year.
That's right.
There was the Silver Chair riots. I don't think there's been any riots at the Melbourne show as yet, but certainly there was a long queue for the Baywatch show bag, she tells me. And she's popped down and got us one.
Mm.
Obviously a long-time listener. She's gone, this will help with your show.
Is there anything else I can do?
Well, in the centrepiece of the Baywatch show bag is the Baywatch stickers book, which has still got its Southland News Agency price sticker on the front, $2.50. They've obviously had a pile up of them, just whacked them all in the show bags. And it's just full of information I didn't know about the Baywatch. And I think it's from, like, 1983, so you can't recognise anybody. Look, who's that? You recognise that?
No.
That's Pamela Anderson, believe it or not, 3 years ago.
I was about to say David Hasselhoff. Look at that.
It doesn't look like her. It's before she's had the lip work done. It's before, you know, she got those lips that suggest she's either been just attacked by a swarm of hornets or, you know, just homed in on the lips or just ended a brief marriage to Burt Reynolds. You know that look?
Oh, yeah, very familiar with it.
Well, that's what she looked like before, and you wouldn't know it was her. But I'm going through the information here, and listen to some of these Baywatch trivia facts. Did you know this? David Hasselhoff was born in Sherman Dax, California.
Sherman Dax.
You wear Sherman Dax, don't you?
They're my favourite.
What about this? What does David like most of all? He loves the theatre. He lives for the theatre. You never guess from watching Baywatch, but listen to this quote. If I could, I would live on the stage.
Dear, dear.
I know some people who went to see Macbeth in California recently. All the actors were talking really quietly. Nobody wanted to wake David Hasselhoff. And it's got a little bio of him here. It talks about when he was in Knight Rider. The series ended in 1986, but for quite some time afterwards, David was typecast as a man who talked to his car. Wouldn't you hate that? Unable to find acting work, Hasselhoff joined the cast of Baywatch. No, Hasselhoff returned to his original love, music. His solo career took off when his album Night Rocker was released. Have you got a copy of Night Rocker?
No, I don't.
Has that come out on CD yet?
Yeah, there was an anthology released at the end of last year.
I'll be looking at my service station for that one. What about Alexandra Paul? She's the one with the dark hair. I don't even know if she's still in Baywatch anymore. A couple of trivia facts about her. Favourite actor, David Hasselhoff.
It's all becoming apparent now.
There's a surprise. Ambition to become an expert in environmental problems. I think start looking down the front of your swimsuit for starters. But imagine that. Please welcome the world's leading authority on hydrofluorocarbons. Now come somewhere in a red swimsuit.
Got it coming.
There you go. And Pamela Anderson, there she is there, had a difficult childhood. Family was poor. Both her parents were alcoholics, apparently. Mm. But even by the age of five, she was appearing on posters all over Canada. Would she have had much work done by that stage?
Well, one would hope not.
And down here it says her free time is spent at her Malibu home, where she likes reading, writing and poetry.
Poetry.
Is that? Yeah. Mm. If we got an anthology of the poetry of Pamela Anderson, if one comes in, Gracie, you bring it straight to us. Ambition to become a comedy film actress. Well, has that barbed wire come out yet? We'll see how she's going. But here's the big Baywatch news. One of our other favourites, Anna Nicole Smith, is set to join the cast of Baywatch.
What are you doing?
No, this is true. This is true. I'm just filling time. Now, listen to this. Anna Nicole Smith is set to join the cast of Baywatch as the chubby sister of Pamela Anderson. Producers were concerned that casting Anna Nicole would cause tension on the set with Pamela, the undisputed queen of Baywatch. But they needn't have worried. Pamela loved the idea and thought there would be great chemistry between them. She even joked, great, I'll look even skinnier on camera next to Anna Nicole.
Mm.
That's a good bit of theory there, isn't
it?
If you're thinking that way, why not just go the whole hog, squeeze Marlon Brando into one of those red swimsuits? No, look, just go with me on this.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, people. If you're stuck in traffic, close your eyes, picture Marlon Brando in one of those red swimsuits running towards the camera. Is that helping?
Turn it off.
I don't think it is.
Turn it off. I'm feeling sick.
This is Martin Malloy.
They support me in this silly business we're in, and they remind me constantly that television is just a small part of my life, not the most important part, that they are the most important part.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
Say, just before the ads, did I say that that picture of Pamela Anderson was from 1983?
I think you did.
I meant to say 1993.
Well, there
it's
you go.
It's only 3 years old. You can't recognise her. Imagine what she must have looked like in 1983.
God.
She was probably a two-foot black man called Louie in those days.
Don't rule it out.
Okay, well, let's get on with something else, shall we, Pete?
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
A lot of talk in the papers today, Mickey, about that milk commercial for Physical with the Grim Reaper. What was the original version, the one that had all the complaints?
Oh, well, the original version, you've got to go way back. It was basically the Grim Reaper going to smash on old people's hips, and it was bone-crunching action. You'd expect it, you know, the WWF or something. And that was then watered down, and even the latest version, which is excessively violent for a milk ad, I think has got the chop, hasn't it?
That's right. The original commercial showing the Grim Reaper smashing up bones. He comes in with a baseball bat, takes a few skeletons. Mm-hmm. That was taken off. Then there was the other version where the Grim Reaper just came in and smashed up some of your property. He left you alone. He just went a few vases and a couple of clocks.
Correct.
And then took off. Mm-hmm. I think the latest version, he just comes up, Nick knocks the door and runs away. I come out, there's no one there. And then it just says Physical.
Yeah.
Even that, far too offensive.
Absolutely.
People don't want to see the Reaper. They don't want to see him linked with milk, apparently. It's still offending people.
Yep.
I think that's as good an excuse as any for a topic we've done many times on Radio Gladiators, TV ads that get you goat. What's offending you? Between the bits of program, when those ads come on, what are the ones that set your teeth on edge?
Yep.
And, Mickey, here's one. The TV ads for Mission Impossible.
Yep.
How's the way that they gave away the whole ending of the movie?
Right.
The big moment at the end of the film that's all leading to, where Tom Cruise is on a helicopter, blows up, throws him onto a train.
Mm.
I'm watching that with a full cinema. That bit happens, and the whole audience, no reaction. Everyone just goes, saw it in the TV ad.
Why I came.
And they go, saw it in the TV ad. And the credits are rolling. And everyone walks out. Imagine if they did that with every film.
Yeah.
Imagine if in the ads for this big new Eraser, they revealed that, you know, the bit about James Caan where he reveals at the end that he's Arnie's dad. I mean, imagine if... Oh, I'm just kidding.
Now look what you've done.
Got you a beauty.
What about The Crying Game? That had to be in their TV ad. What's
exactly.
the point?
Exactly.
What's the point? Here's an ad that I'm concerned about, Tom, and it's an ad for a supermarket, and it's one of your bottom of the range, your kind of no-names or your Franklins or your something like that, and it's a supermarket that's just got heaps of shoppers dancing till they drop. Going mad, Tone. Going mad. They're going on. It looks like a Rock of Stedford. Right. Do you remember the opening to Fame?
Oh, yes.
That's what's going on in the supermarket. And I'm thinking to myself, if I was in that supermarket and that was happening, someone's gone down in a shopping trolley hit and run. It is the most annoying thing.
Yeah, but obviously at that supermarket, that's just how much fun it is to shop.
Well, that's what that had you believe. But, you know, there's no chance like the movie ad, like Mission Impossible, turning up and going, oh, no, it's just like the ad.
Exactly. Well, just thinking if there's any more, I tend to fail. I tend to, as we know, I tape the ads and I fast forward through them. That's the best thing to do, people.
I got one I can tell you about, Tone. And in fact, this is one you may remember because we watched watched it together and had a bit of a cack. It's an ad, and it's for a female kind of product. I think it might be makeup, or it might even be underarm or something. But it concerns a woman purporting to be a stand-up comic.
Oh, yes.
And she's a gorgeous-looking woman. She's your kind of 30-ish kind of public relations, bottle blonde, very well-groomed,
it's
makeup.
Your ad agency idea of what stand-up comedians look like.
And she's going, hi, I'm a stand-up comic. I know I'm beautiful. And then they cut to her, like, performing her stand-up in front of an audience, and she looks like one of those women who stand in David Jones going, hello, shoppers, come over here. And it's the most appalling head. And we were sitting there going, that should be Judith Lucy. If they want to represent a stand-up comic and sell their gear, why not have Jude out there? This woman looks nothing like any... We've done stand-up.
Yeah.
I've never seen this woman on the circuit. Yeah. I've never seen anyone who looks like this woman on the circuit.
Nah,
And she's cracking a couple of gags, too, that involve a some kind of bulldog. That's the big finish, by the way.
Right. I'd like to see both that ad and the ad with the dancing supermarket. I'd like to see the Grim Reaper introduced to those scenarios. Forget the milk. Let's get him to work on a few other commercials.
Mm. Let's get him into those petite me arm commercials.
All right. That's not what we're talking about. It's not what would you like to see the Grim Reaper do. We're just looking for ads that get your goat. And have we got a prize? Yes, it's $500 cash. It's as simple as that. It's 500 smackaroos in your hand to spend on whatever you want. It's all courtesy of our extremely good friends at Soothers, who are throwing in a giant box of Soothers at the same time. So you can run around your street till midnight shouting at the top of your voice, I've got $500.
I want to see more Soothers ads on telly.
Yeah, I want
to see them. I'd like to see them back-to-back, chock-a-block. Far and away the best ads, man.
The Grim Reaper coming in, knocking back a few Soothers.
And sitting down on the couch with the family. Having a bit of a laugh. Of a wrestle. Bit of a tickle.
All right. Well, that's not the kind of ad we're looking for. We're looking for ads that really offend you. Call us now with them. 1-800-657-657.
I've forgotten. On the new SAFM.
Here at Martin Molloy. It's Radio Gladiators. There's a bit of talk in the paper today about this Physical ad being banned yet again, the one with the Grim Reaper going to town on your bones. What other ads are getting your goat at this present point in time? Who have we got, Mickey?
Tanya, how are you?
Hi. How are you?
Not too bad. Tell us about the ad that's really annoying you of late.
Oh, that horrible soap opera style Nescafe coffee commercial drives me up the wall.
Yes. Now, I think this is a format which has worked overseas, so naturally we've got it here. Just take us through the ads for people who haven't seen them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they start out, they just meet, and then they have a cup of coffee, and then they meet again, and they have another cup of coffee, and then they meet the little daughter, and they have a cup of coffee, and then they have a date, and halfway through the dinner, she has a cup of coffee.
And are they just hyperactive nutbags by the end of it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I drank that much coffee, I'd drown, basically.
Yes, there's a lot of frustrated proper film directors making ads. And a lot of them, I think, use the commercials as kind of auditions, hoping they'll get a movie out of it. I know the bloke who does Ken Bruce's Gone Mad is working down those lines. But
that's it. The guy who got passed over for Out of Africa is now just busting his balls trying to do Nescafe ads.
Yes.
Right.
Well, we've had a lot of calls about those. Thanks, Tanya. Now we'll ask Peter, which ads annoy you?
Guys, it'd have to be those mood music albums, you know, coming up to Christmas where you get things like, you know, classical moods and saxophone moods and
pan-pipe
favourites.
Reflections. And
that's the one.
Tony Barber usually has one out about Christmas time. So you're talking about the cheap sort of ads for the albums?
Oh, mate, they're Dino music. Yeah. I wouldn't call them cheap.
Peter, you mentioned the panpipes. There's an ad on at the moment for some bloke with a panpipe, and he's got a huge beard. And it actually, to me, looks like the panpipe is just caught in his beard. Looks like he's he could let it go with both hands, and it'd just hang there.
Last year's one looked like panpipe with ears. The guy had really big ears.
Oh, yes, what a beautiful image.
Why are they going to come up with next sort of classic washboard tunes or something like that? I don't know.
Don't give him any ideas, Peter. Don't give him any ideas.
All right, those are annoying. Have we got Toby with us? You there, Tobes?
Yep, I'm here.
What's the ad that it's getting you at the moment?
I hate that ad for tenor. You know, it's the ad where... it says, like, for women with leaky bladders.
Oh, yes. Leaky bladders.
Yeah, they're showing this woman squatting in the garden, you know, they're saying, you know, if you can't hold it in, you know, whacking a tenor. And
I'm just looking. I haven't seen this. I'm just looking over a producer. Is there a woman squatting in the garden in the bladder controller?
And is that the copy for the ad? Whack in a bladder. Is that what?
Well, I mean that's along those lines. But yes. The thing I hate most of all, like after all those tampon ads, they're still showing the blue liquid.
Oh, the blue liquid. Talked about the blue liquid.
Yes, the blue liquid. It's always confusing to me because I'm thinking, is it the same blue liquid they keep the combs in down the barbers? I think there should be a delineation. They should copyright that blue like Cadbury's are doing with their purple. All right, thanks, Toby. Bladder control, I'm not sure if that's a real ad. But
I have no idea.
It certainly entertained us. Have we got Sue? Sue, are you there?
Yes, I'm
Sue,
here.
Which is the one that you don't like?
I hate those National Australia Bank ads.
Oh, the ones with mini rivers to cross.
Yeah, look at the big picture ones. There's two of them, and I can't stand either of them.
Which one in particular?
Well, I'm not too keen on the Chinese one. I mean, he drops a plate, and the last thing you're going to think of is a bank when you drop a plate of Chinese food.
That's true.
But I mean, I really don't like the one where she's a bit of a whinge or two in the house and sort of, you know, squawking at the guy next door with his child.
And what about the song? Is that driving you nuts?
Yeah, that one, it sort of sticks in your memory a bit, doesn't it?
Because our producer, Gracie, was telling us they had to pay a fortune to get the rights to it, but since they've bought it, it's sent the album to the top of the charts. I think it's number one at the moment. Tony Childs, is it?
Yeah.
I suppose she's sending royalty payments back to the National Australia Bank. I'd like to think so.
Well, I don't think they need them.
But obviously it hasn't caught your fancy. Okay, thanks, Sue. Now we've got John. Are you there, John?
Yep.
John, which is the ad you don't like?
Okay, I'm really getting sick and tired of the Jenny Craig ad where Paula Duncan works up the courage to walk in the door.
Oh, right. just paint it out for people who haven't seen that one. We see it a lot during the day, I think.
Okay. She's building up courage to walk into a Jenny Craig saloon.
Right.
Then she goes in there after the second time. And she laughs and she's got a really annoying voice.
Okay.
Not only that, you ring up Jenny Craig and they don't accept men.
Oh, really?
What happened to equal rights?
Is that right? Have you tried?
Yes, I have trouble seeing my feet.
Okay. All right, so they don't accept men and Jenny Craig.
No.
Gee, I was talking to Mel Colson the other day, didn't mention that. But okay, it's got his goat on two levels. It's discriminatory, it's annoying. Mm.
Is that why Paula Duncan got the gig on This Is Your Life? They've looked at that ad and gone, it's time to honour and recognise her contribution to this industry.
I think that's how they choose most of them, Mick. All right, finally we've got Michael. Michael, which is the ad you don't like? Michael?
Hello.
There he is. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine, thanks.
All right, take us through the ad you don't like.
The ad I don't like is the Jeep Cherokee ad. Mm-hmm. They say there's two ways to arrive, by car or by Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah.
And they show this Jeep Cherokee overtaking lots of prestige cars, going to some big, high-class, large money do.
Yeah.
And
right.
When they get there, and by the time they get there, you soon realise that all the cars in the ad are left-hand drive.
Oh, I see.
It's some other country's ad. And then they give one quick glimpse of the car, of the interior of the car, and it's a right-hand drive model. Then they go back to the outside of the vehicle and it's left-hand drive again.
Oh,
why can't they make an ad for Australia?
What are they playing at?
They haven't even done the flip-flop, because what they can do is they can flip the film around. That's what they usually do, but obviously the number plates often give that away. So they haven't
There's one part where it splashes mud up on the window of another car and you see this rather distraught lady looking out the passenger's right-hand window.
And it's Hillary Clinton!
It looks like Hillary, yes.
I see. All right, so that's obviously something that annoys people. Which one is the most annoying, though, Mickey? We had a lot of calls about Nescafe. Bladder control, I'm not sure about that one.
I like them all, Tone, but I reckon just it's a good generic and it pops up once a year and we're talking Christmas album ads. Take them all, lump them in the way. They're hopeless. They'll be upon us in no time. Are you with us, Peter? Are you still there? Peter?
Yes.
Oh, we're still with you. I thought you'd raced off to your servo to buy a record for a second there. But
well,
they're
not out yet, so you know what I'm going to use the 500 for, don't you?
Oh, well, you'll be able to get, about 1,000 of them albums.
Oh.
And, of course, you've got the Soothers, which will help after you've been screaming at your stereo for half an hour. So thanks for taking part.
Bring it along.
Thanks to everybody who contributed today. And we'll be back in the next hour with somebody who's always got something to bitch about, and that's Judith Lucy.
This is Martin Malloy. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
And in this hour of Martin Molloy, the prickles are back. We'll play Sticky Beaks. And next up, it's time for Judith Lucy to let fly, all thanks to Coca-Cola's aerodynamically perfect 500ml bottle with an extra 20% of the good stuff, absolutely free. Oh,
SAFM.
Welcome to the mandolin hour here at Martin Molloy. It's all medieval instruments or nothing for the next 60-odd minutes. And let's get a guest in here, shall we, Mickey?
Okay.
Oh, I think we know who it's time for. It's time to welcome a woman who last night, according to rumour, was secretly married to one of comedy's most eligible bachelors. Here she is. It's Judith Bloody Wilson. No, it's Judith Lucy. How are you?
No, it's Judith Elliott. I think you're fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm not bad, Tone.
Now, look, we're a bit concerned about it. How's your week been, firstly?
Well, my week, I've had an interesting week. I had a lovely experience in, this will surprise you, a pub. I was sitting there waiting for someone, and they were late, and a woman was sitting at another table, and I've since discovered that she's a regular and that she does this all the time.
But right.
She's asked if she could join me, and being the thundering moron that I am, I've said, sure. Her opening line was, darling, I'm 52 and I'm miserable. My parents are miserable. I keep saying to the doctor, can you give me a pill? Because I just want to die. I just want to die. I just want to die.
Right.
And, of course, I've started off by saying, 52, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag. One door shuts and another door opens. And by the end of the hour, I was thinking, sweet Jesus, there are some tram tracks outside the pub. Why don't you put yourself out of your misery and mine and go and lie down on them.
Gee, that's not like you. I thought you would have suggested she fashion that experience into a comedy festival show. You know, there's at least 40 minutes in that, isn't there?
I don't need the competition.
A couple of jugglers up front to pad it out. There's your show.
Admittedly, I think I was just too terrified because I thought that could be me in a few years' time.
Well, it could be. Do you remember when Jude was here last week, Mick?
Yes, I do. Yes, we've had a lot of calls. Very concerned about you and your health. You appeared to us very much to be losing your mind. And even made the claim yourself, Jude. Yeah. How's it going?
Yes, and there were marbles all over the floor when you left.
I've seen you lose your lunch on a couple of occasions. I'm yet to be convinced you've lost your mind. How are you holding up?
Mick, it's not going well. I had an evening a couple of nights ago where a friend of mine rang me up and she said, look, I've got a jug full of pina coladas. Do you want to come over and help me drink it?
And at that moment in her house, there was a knock on the front door. She opened it and there you were.
And she was on the phone going, Judith?
Hello?
Judith? I see.
Pretty much. And let's just say that by the time we drunk that jug of pina coladas, I think we were making love at midnight and getting caught in the rain. we've drunk the jug of pina coladas and then we've drunk her last bottle of wine, which rather appropriately was called and actually had on the label, Who Cares? And now she lives in a residential area and she's pretty convinced that her neighbours aren't too fond of her.
Right.
So it's been quite late at night and she said, look, let's really piss them off. And she's put the music on very high. She's pulled the curtains back and she said, let's dance on the table because that's how crazy we are.
Okay. So, can I just ask at this point, did you have a gig that night to go to afterwards?
No, I had to have tea with my mother.
Oh, right.
But so we're on the table dancing, trying to offend the neighbours, and I thought, well, this isn't enough. So I've taken my top off. So I'm sure I'll be getting a few offers from my friends' neighbours. But it was at the point that my friend said, you're behaving a bit like Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls. But I realised what I was doing and kind of wanted to kill myself. Anyway, it was at that point that my friend's gone, I've thought it might be an idea to cash my chips in.
Well, I didn't want to knock the top off another bottle of Who Cares at that point.
Surely you had something left in the tank.
You would have drank anything at that point that didn't have a Hazchem label on the front.
Surely you still had a couple of tricks up your sleeve, Jude.
Oh, you bet. My friend's gone, we'd better go to a bar because, you know, we need...
Let's take the act on the road.
You can make some cash on this deal.
Exactly.
You'll be swimming in $5 notes.
So we've gone to a bar, and that was a lot of fun. Right. And then we popped over to my place, and we've drunk every drop of alcohol that was left in my house, including a couple of glasses of whiskey that had been sitting out on a table for several days. They were delicious. And then we've gotten into a bit of Cheech and Chong work. And basically, we passed out. My friend hasn't wanted to go home, so we parked out together in my bed at 7 in the morning. At 10:30 in the morning, there's been a knock on the door, and let me paint the picture for you. I think if you'd
I think you've done that, Jude. I think you've given it a full undercoat.
But I think if you'd seen my flat at that point, the phrase neat as a pin would not have popped into your head. We're talking broken glass, bottles, cigarette butts, just looking lovely. Mm. Anyway, I've sprung up to open the door. I'm wearing underwear and a towel. I have lipstick smeared all over my face. I've opened the door to this guy just as my friend has stumbled out of my bedroom looking pretty much the same. And I'm thinking, you must think you've just stumbled into a lesbian orgy.
And can I just ask, Jude, was this guy carrying a big red book and with a Channel 9 camera crew?
Yes, and it was a slice of my life that I don't think they were quite prepared for.
Well, Jude, I don't know if you've seen the sealed section in the New Weekly, but I think there's a bit of your coffee table work there. You might want to take that home with you.
Thanks, Tone. Anyway, that's my new career.
Okay. There's no more?
No, that's okay. It.
You should have done the old Daniel D. Cray and said, you were framed. I've been set up. These photos have been set up.
Although a businessman did come up to me in the bar that we were at and said, you know, I'm a bit of a fan of yours, but it's a little disappointing to see you a bit under the weather. And I thought, where do you think I get my material from? I'm a teetotaler with a vivid imagination.
I'm at the office.
Yes.
I'm working.
This is a public service.
This is all going on my tax return. Well, Jude, I don't know if you've got anything else to say, but would you like to stick around for another break anyway?
Have you got some margaritas?
All right. Maybe a bit of tabletop dancing to this.
From Belinda Carlisle, and we're in too deep with Judith Lucy, I think, today. Oh, just before we go on, I should correct something earlier. One of our callers on Radio Gladiators, John, claimed that Jenny Craig weight loss centres don't accept men. I think Ms. Craig herself has been on the blower. They do, apparently.
Good.
So we weren't to know. Sorry about that. Obviously, what's happened is John's gone down. They've seen him coming, and we tell him we don't accept men. That'll do. It's too big a job. Yep. So I don't know what's going on there, but blokes, get down there, lose a few kilos. Mm. And Judith, what about you? I noticed we're going through the women's mags. Have you been following the Bindi Paxton story?
Not as much as I'd like to, because seeing some of those photos there, well, it's looking a little like me from the other evening. But
she's being photographed in the nutty, apparently, for Playboy magazine. She's hitting the stage with her band on October 7th in Melbourne. I notice you've got a bit of nude work in front of you. What is that? That's not Bindi Paxton, is it?
No. It's a couple of nude people playing tennis, as of course you do when you've got your gear off. No, there was an article in Marie Claire, which you know is one of my favourites.
Yes.
And the article was called I Pay to Live Naked, which of course I don't. I just pop round to my friend's house and, you know, strip off on the coffee table for free. Mm-hmm. But now I'll read you the opening paragraph because it's a beautifully written piece as well.
Okay, let's hear it.
Suzanne is a nudist with a no-nonsense attitude, which I think is important if you're a nudist. She loves playing tennis in the nick, but she doesn't want saggy boobs, so she wears a bra. It also saves my nipples getting burnt. Now, I can't help thinking that wearing a bra does actually defeat the purpose of being a nudist somewhat. Yes. I mean, I could actually say, hello, I'm Judith Lucy, I'm a no-nonsense nudist, but I don't like getting any part of me burnt, so I choose to wear a bra, pants and an outfit. But anyway,
I'm the same, Jude. I am a nudist. I always have been, but I still don't like to go anywhere without my head-to-toe fish suit.
That's no nonsense.
Well, we get to hear about Susan's lovely partner. It goes on to say, she says, her tanned bottom wobbling as she lobs a volley at husband Fred, who's bouncing up and down near the net. I don't want to know about Fred bouncing up and down, but anyway, they're both very sun-conscious because it goes on to say, and on very hot days, he too has to take special precautions by liberally applying zinc to the head of his penis.
Well, there you go. Wouldn't trousers have been easier? By liberally applying trousers. He's no nonsense about nudism.
But I don't know. I don't know if I could really take it seriously. If I were playing tennis with someone, I was wearing nothing but a bra. My partner had pink zinc smeared all over his dick. You know, hopefully one of those lovely neon colours. I just don't know. Although, you know, why didn't he just strap a small parasol to his upper thigh, maybe?
Well, let's see that kind of thing at Wimbledon, shall we?
Yes.
Let's see Boris Becker going the liberal apply.
Somebody, hello, bit of help over here, bit of zinc.
But now, look, we're all too uptight. That's the problem, because it's one of them says, when you get your gear off, you're also stripping off the stresses of life.
Yeah.
Which, did you see what I was doing the other night? I've got some money problems, so I thought, the top's got to go. That's going to make me feel a lot better. Gosh, when you think about it, strippers must be the most relaxed people in the world. But
You got that from the money program, didn't you? Paul Glitterer. That was how he opened the other night. Money problems, get the top off.
You just know me too well. Yep. And another thing one of them says is, why should you constantly inspect yourself to make sure you're covered?
Yeah.
And you know how I've got that problem? Mm. Sometimes I'll just walk in and you'll say, dude, you forgot to inspect yourself and your jeans have dropped off and you just didn't realise. So the stresses, you know, they're just getting rid of the stresses. But look, it's not all beer and Skittles being nude.
No.
Because they discovered...
There's a downside.
there is a downside. They discovered at the highlight of the year, which is, of course, the nude spring ball, that cigarettes were a real problem. And I couldn't help thinking to myself, you know, even when I've got my clothes on, I go, no, there are my breasts, there are my genitals, I won't be stubbing a fag out on those.
Exactly. There's a warning on the packets now. They have to, by law, say that. There's been a lot of incidents.
And there's another problem.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I've banned eating in the nude, says Jessica. I had one nudist dinner party where someone dropped a sizzling lamb chop in their lap and got burned. And it's dangerous if you spill your soup.
Especially, there's nothing worse than getting zinc all over your lamb chop. You know what I mean? There goes dinner.
It's just, it takes, you know, it's just not as appealing somehow.
Jude, thanks for that. Done, Jude? Are you finished? Have you... So you're sitting on anything else?
I don't think there's anywhere else I can go.
All right, well, pull your pants up and waddle on out of here.
And we'll see you at the same time next week.
Yes, please.
Your work here is done. And Gracie.
Yes, yes.
And I hope people were doing it in their cars on the way home. Have you mastered this macaroni yet, Mickey?
No, I give it a go. Yeah. I often at home put it on, get on my coffee table, take the gear off, and just macarena with the windows open.
All right. Do you want to redo the macarena, Jack? Or have we done it in this hour? Let's just leave it at that.
Let it lie.
You know, when you see politicians, American politicians doing the macarena, they do it too well. They've obviously got a coaching clinic. Yeah. Somebody's taking Bob Dole aside. Mm. And, you know, they're coaching them. They're going, do the, you know, it's a hip work, it's a bit of buttocks, fall off the balcony. It's as simple as that.
There you go.
All right, but enough macarena here at Martin Molloy because, Pete!
It's time to invade the privacy of fellow Australians as we play Sticky Beaks. Here's how it works. We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Molloy. During the break, Mick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other.
Not the girl you think you are.
If you're our winning sticky beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany, where you'll be presented with the 1 millionth copy of Crowded House's recurring dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. You know, a lot of people have been asking me what Channel 9 have done with that nice young chap, Tim Ferguson. Well, the other day, I was having a quick sticky beak in the personnel department. Just as Tim was leaving, the supervisors grabbed him and said, "Hey, Ferguson, don't forget your bog brush." "Don't worry, Tim. Been there, done that."
I see. He's full of it, isn't he, Pete Smith?
What's he up to now? Wash that mouth out, Petey boy.
Okay. Even he's getting in on the act. Now, we've still got this castle. It's
not going anywhere.
No,
it's waiting.
When are we drawing the castle? When is it at the end of... Next Friday. That's when somebody is going to be castle bound. As you heard, you're getting all the Crowded House CDs. Even Paul Hester doesn't have them. You're getting them if you win today, and you're going into the draw for 7 nights with a friend in a castle in Germany. It's a top castle.
Oh, it's the best.
It's your upmarket. Would Lachlan Murdoch have a castle in Germany?
He would. Not like this one. You know this was? It's a display castle.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the one they model a lot of other castles on. You go in, if you like it, they'll knock you up one.
Right. I'm reading about Lachlan today. Congratulations to him. I think he's the new managing director of News Limited. And there's a comment today from the chairman and chief executive of News Limited, Mr. Ken Cowley, and he talks about Lachlan, and he says no one could in the group could be fail to be could fail. Let me start this.
That'll
do. This is why I'm not the editor at the magazine in question. Nobody could fail to be impressed by his application, intelligence, and leadership qualities. Do you think you should add and surname? Do you think that should be?
Oh, hey, you're just that's just cynical. That's sour grapes.
That's right.
They've rejected your application, given the nod to Lachlan, and you just can't accept it.
But I'm good words at together putting in order.
There you go.
Why couldn't I have got the gift?
Well, you'll have to try harder.
All right, but you'll be living like a News Limited chief in Germany for a week if you come out of the barrel next Friday. I think that's incentive. And also, you're getting presented, do I need to mention it again, with the 1,000,000th copy of the Crowded House Best Of Recurring Dream. And I'm hoping Paul Hester's going to pull on the little monkey suit and come out with it on a tray.
That'd be nice.
If we can get him over there, we'll see if we can tee that up for you as well. Call us now and be beaked, and then take part in Sticky Beaks. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Spreading a network of terror in a nation desperate hour of decision.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
Yes, we've entered the beak zone here at Martin Malloy. It's time for Sticky Beaks. If you haven't heard it before, it's pretty darn basic. We've got two members of the general public on the line. They're going to be answering questions about each other. We've, basically pried a few details out of them during the break. Who are the beaks in question, Mickey?
Check out the picker on this bloke. It's Gavin. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. Where in the country are you calling us from, Gav?
Currumburra.
Currumburra? All right, that's your hometown. What do you do there?
I'm a taxi driver.
You're a taxi driver? Are you dropping someone off in Currumburra, or you do actually live there?
Oh, I live there.
Yeah, all right.
All right, and what kind of competition do you face there? Are the mini cabs about?
Oh, there's...
Or have you got the game to yourself?
There's only four.
Oh, only four.
All right, gee.
All right, well, thanks, Gavin, taking you on. We have Susan. Susan, do you drive a cab?
No, I don't.
What do you do?
I work at a book factory, HarperCollins.
A book factory?
Wow. Where they punch out books.
Have you cited that new novel by Brian Mannix yet, Susan? Is that being made down at your factory?
No, we actually distribute the books. We don't make them.
Okay.
What are you distributing at the moment?
All different ones.
What's moving off the shelf? What's the favourite?
A couple of Nelson DeMille.
Oh, yeah. What about Mina from Mars?
Yeah, that's a hot seller.
That's big. And what about that Helen Demidenko? Was there a drop-off when that scandal happened? Did you have to burn a lot out the back?
No, that's actually, I think they got more popular.
Oh, really? Well, that's how it works, of course. Okay, well, I think the beaking has been done.
Oh,
let's get the competition underway, and you kick things off, Mickey.
All right, Susan, Gavin's favourite pickup line is A, what you doing tonight? B, how did you get to be so beautiful? C, care to jump in the sack with a former wiggle?
It'd have to be B.
It'd have to be B, no, I'm afraid it's not. It is what you doing tonight. Ain't that right, Gav?
Yep, that's right.
Yes, you've laid that one out on a number of occasions. Does it work for you, buddy?
Oh, yeah, it has a couple of times.
And then you put them in the back of the cab, charge them full fare, back to your place because it's further.
Not exactly.
Very romantic scenario, Mickey. Okay, here's a question for you, Gavin. The last time Susan gave someone a wedding present, it was A, a glass bowl, B, cutlery, C, opened by the bomb disposal robot.
B.
Oh, no, I'm afraid that she went the glass bowl option. Is that right, Susan?
Yes.
And when you got there, were there like 7 or 8 other glass bowls? Did you go, oh, I thought of it first. Was there a bit of that?
Yeah, all the time.
Always happens with the glass bowls.
Yep.
Afraid so. Come on, Beaks, must try harder. Susan, the Paxton Gavin would most like to see photographed in the nude for Playboy is A, Shane, B, Bindi, C, the other one.
Bindi.
B from Bindi is correct.
And that was fairly easy, I suppose. Gavin, here's one for you. Same question pretty much. Which of the following would Susan most like to see photographed nude for Playboy? A, Sylvester Stallone. B, Sharon Stone. C, Amanda Vanstone.
A.
Oh, guess what? She's going for Sharon Stone. Oh. Is that because you'd just rather see anybody but Sly and the Buff, Susan? Is that why?
Yes.
Has he written any books yet? Is there anything down the warehouse?
No, no.
He's not working on a pamphlet or something?
Oh, no.
All right, well, you tell us if he's got something coming down there.
I will do.
Okay.
All right, Susan, is that what I'm asking? Yes, it is. The last time Gavin was drunk, he A, got locked up for the night, B, woke up in the back of a car, C, shaved off baby John Burgess's moustache.
A.
Yes, indeed it is. You got locked away, didn't you, Gav?
Yes, unfortunately. It was a good night, though.
It was a good night.
And did a whole lot of... did the other three cab drivers in the town have to come down and bail you out with just a whole lot of 50-cent pieces out of them little plastic caddies?
No.
Okay, just guessing. Here's a question for you, Gavin. The last album Susan bought was A, Tracy Chapman, B, Def Leppard, C, Pantera's new version of the Shoop Shoop song.
Oh,
B. B, Def Leppard, yes, indeed. Bit of heavy metal. You into the heavy metal, Susan?
Oh, a little, just Def Leppard. They're nice.
They're nice. They are very nice. That's, yes. That's what my mum says about them.
Indeed.
Those nice young men in Def Leppard.
So they've punched out a couple of novels too, I believe.
All right, who's the winner? It's Susan, yes, indeed. Okay, Susan, guess what? You've got the Crowded House CD back catalogue. They're fairly nice too.
Yep, great.
Okay, that's all yours. And also you've gone into the draw for the big prize, the trip to Germany, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, good.
Okay, be listening next Friday. As for you, Gavin, you'll be driving your cab in a fashion accessory from the Martin Malloy range.
Thank you.
Is that going to look good in the cab, do you think?
I don't know. I don't think it'll be allowed.
Oh, really? What? Even if you got a souvlaki and spilled it down the front, still wouldn't be allowed?
Oh, you've got to change into another uniform, I guess.
It's coming your way. You can wash the cab with it if you want, Gavin. Thanks for taking part. Thanks, both of you. And we'll be back with another round of Sticky Beaks tomorrow on Martin Malloy.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
Oh, I thought it was the end of the show there, Gracie. I was panicking. I'm going, how are we going to spin out one comment for 5 minutes? It's Martin Malloy.
There's our Dalai Lama.
Have we come
back
from...
That works for me, Tone.
We're not still on holidays, are we?
No.
I think I've been on holidays for the last week and a half.
Yeah, good.
I'll go outside and I'll give myself a good hard boot in the pants. Have we still got that wheel of boots, Gracie? You have that standing by for after the show. That was Melissa Etheridge of Bring Me Some Water here at Martin Malloy.
Hey, kids, you've seen them on the telly. You've bought their CD. Well, now you can pester your mum to see them live in concert. Whatever you do, make sure you go and see The Prickles. If you like The Wiggles, you'll love The Prickles. They're just the same, only a lot grumpier. It's a 2-hour magical mystery tour of songs, skits and mayhem with 5 unemployed meat workers in brightly coloured T-shirts nursing shocking hangovers. Run round like a maniac, screaming and yelling. Just don't get too close to the band members or you might get a clip across the ear for your trouble. And as always, The Prickles will be joined on stage by Digby the Dinosaur. Remember, kids, don't pull his tail or he'll punch you in the head. You get to hear all your favourite Prickles songs live, including Don't Be a Dobber, Skull, 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 Pull My Finger, Big Red Vomit, Shut Up You Little Bastards, Poo in the Pants and Doing the Nasty. Here's one you might remember.
Mum, can I have another Winnie Blue? Winnie Blue, Winnie Blue.
Everybody!
Mum, can I have another Winnie Blue?
There's tons of exciting games that everyone can play.
Okay, kids, now where did I put that unopened beer?
Behind you! Behind you!
Where?
Behind you! Behind you!
Where?
Behind
you! All right! These are the first time! Jesus!
Here's what one unsuspecting young kitty had to say after meeting the Prickles.
The singer took my lunch money!
So come on, mums and dads, don't leave your kids in the car park at the casino. Dump them at
The prickles. You'll thank yourself later.
Okay, everybody.
The kid wearing glasses gonna call for eyes. Call for eyes. Call for eyes.
Come on, kids. You can be meaner than that.
The kid wearing glasses gonna call for eyes. Call for eyes. Call for eyes.
That's Eric Clapton there on about changing the world or something. From Phenomenon here at Martin Molloy, pretty much time to go. I hope people are watching Dancing in the Street on the ABC on Friday night. It's probably the best show on telly. I'm going out on a limb calling it the best show on telly at the moment.
How many have people missed?
Well, I think there's been five so far.
And there's another...
five to go.
Okay.
And you can come in anywhere if you've missed them. And there's no story. It's just the story of rock and roll. And there was a fair few shots of Eric Clapton in the early days. And I think the funniest bit of footage I've seen so far was a very early bit of footage of Roy Orbison without the sunnies on.
Oh, dear.
And you were going, I can see why he wore those sunnies for 20 or 30 years.
It looked like the guy with the drawn-on sunnies.
There was no sunnies.
No sunnies.
It looked like my dad at a barbecue miming to a James Last album. Mm. It wasn't the Big O as we know it.
And, Tane, when you're watching these documentaries, you're jumping around the lounge room and you're playing a bit of air guitar.
It's got the best opening titles I've ever seen on a TV show. It involves a TV being thrown out the balcony of a hotel room. I've gone through five tellies so far.
Yeah, well, it's a big claim, but you said that about the nanny when the nanny came out.
Yeah, okay,
so
fair
that
enough.
That is without doubt the best title sequence I have ever seen.
Well, it's just the song.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's the devil's music at work.
There's your history of rock and roll.
I want to see Pantera doing the theme from the nanny. We like to solve problems here at Martin Molloy, so just quickly, Mark Everstein has faxed us. He wants us to get to work on acid-washed trachydacks.
Mm.
He thinks it's the idea of the future. Mm. He wants us to give it a go in Paul Hester's shed. I'm willing to undergo that experiment. We'll get back to you, Mark, when we have any results.
And I'll also send you a pair of our fresh, off-the-line acid-wash underpants.
Yes.
They're lovely.
How did you make them, Mickey?
Oh, look, you don't give away your secret, Tane.
You didn't go to Bali with some AFL footballers, I hope. Now, just before we go, do we have any Michael Jackson news? Because the Freak and his beak are getting closer and closer to Australia every minute. What's the latest?
Actually, did you see that footage of him in Korea? And there was a group of young girls who were protesting his arrival, and they were all standing there where they were out the front going, "Go home, Michael. We don't like you, Michael," signs. And you know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
My mum picketing my house. I'm in trouble, it's always, "Go home, Michael." She stands out there with a big placard.
Exactly the same ones, I believe.
Yeah, but anyway, listen to this. Michael Jackson has rung up John F. Kennedy Jr.
Has he?
Yes, who was married to, yesterday I think it was, John F. Kennedy Jr. and offered to help boost sales of his magazine, George, by posing for pictures and appearing on the cover dressed as Gandhi or the Dalai Lama.
Hang on.
Do you want a second to think about that?
Hang on, what? It's too much.
That's what he's done. Now listen, JFK Jr.'s no thanks was fired back quicker than black and white magazines, thanks but no thanks, a couple of months ago. The idea, of course, comes from all the stars who've dressed up as George Washington for the cover.
That's right.
Right, you've got your Cindy Crawfords, your Robert De Niro's, your Brooke Shields. Hence the title, George.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the idea. You've got to dress up as George Washington.
That's the theme.
If the magazine was called Dalai, Gandhi, or even Freak, I'm sure they would have been happy to have you, Michael. Here's a stretch for him.
Okay.
What about appearing on the cover of something as a black man? Do you reckon he could get away with it?
Nah.
To date, the only publication who's shown any interest in Michael appearing on their cover is Mad Magazine, and they're only interested in the back cover. You know, the one where the A meets B tabs? You're looking at it going, oh, that's creepy, and then you fold it in to produce something that doesn't make you want to bring up your lunch. That's their bold new idea.
All right, well, I think that's how it's due to go.
He's a nut! A magazine called George, he wants to appear on the cover as Candy.
Maybe Gandhi's first name was George.
George Gandhi. Pleased to meet you. Here's my card.
What about George Lama? He's on tour around the country at the moment. We really must go. Sorry, Gracie. Thanks to our guest Judith Lucy and all our Beaks and Gladiators. We'll be back tomorrow with we're not sure who yet, but it won't be Gandhi. Call us and, we'll furnish you with the information as soon as we know. I won't give the number now. We don't have time. So, please, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts for Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free. Pete Smith speaking.